Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you that you dwell inside of us. Empower us every day to live a life that pleases you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been going through the life of Christ and talking about various events that Jesus did in his life. Of course, we're not covering them all. We've talked about all these events so far. And today we're going to talk about, as we've moved through the life of Christ, we're going to talk about tracking the teaching regarding the second coming. We're going to look at what Jesus said about his second coming. And that is found in Matthew 24. He's now in the region of Jerusalem. Approaching the time when he will lay down his life for you and for me on the cross. So the 3-year public ministry of Jesus is coming to a close. And of course, next week, we're going to be talking about the triumphal entry of Christ. Next week being Palm Sunday, and a week from this Friday being Good Friday, and then Easter services on the 16th as we remember Jesus rising from the dead. The bottom line is this. This world will not always continue like it is today. Do you believe that? I mean, sometimes when we're young, right, we think, my life will continue. I have no problems. I'm not going to die early. I'm going to continue on for 80, 90, 100 years. But that's not always the case. We never know when our last day is coming, right? We never know. The same is true with this world. There will be a massive change that will come. There is a day coming in which Jesus will return physically to meet his church in the air and eventually set up a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. That's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, you can bank on it. You can count on it. It will happen. Jesus is coming back. He will set up, thank you. Jesus will set up his 1,000-year reign on the earth. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Pretty easy to find. First book in the New Testament, Matthew 24, verses 1 through 46. I'm going to try to cover a lot today, so we have to move quickly with a limited amount of time. So let's do that. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the building of the temple. But he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. When was that fulfilled, by the way? That prophecy was made about 30 AD. What? About 70 AD, General Titus from the Roman Empire came to Jerusalem, ransacked the city, burned the city. The gold from the temple melted between the stones of the temple. He ordered that the soldiers remove every stone so that they could retrieve as much gold as possible, fulfilling exactly what Jesus had prophesied. Then he went on to say this. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name. We hear that today, don't we? Saying, I am the Christ, I'm the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. It's not a bright future. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Now, this is the first thing I want to remind you of as we work through this passage. Number one is this. There are signs that believers should be looking for and alert to. I hope you're looking around and seeing these signs coming to pass. You know, there's a bucket list. People talk about bucket list. This is our watch it list. Let me give you the watch it list for the signs that we're to follow and look for. False Christs. We hear that all the time. People claiming to be the Messiah or a religious guru that should be followed or a new way of pleasing God. There will be wars and rumors of wars. famines and earthquakes. I just heard that Oklahoma has more earthquakes this past year than California. Did you hear that? Oklahoma. That last year there were 20,000 earthquakes in 1 year. Famines around the world. The Bible also talks about tribulation and hatred will increase. There will be a great falling away. And this will all occur before the second coming of Christ, right? A great betrayal of one another. People will turn against one another. The love of people will grow cold. There will be a lawlessness that will increase in this world. We see that already, don't we? So much lawlessness all around us. And the gospel will be preached to the entire world. Most scholars believe that's already happened through radio, through various means, that the gospel has been preached into every nation in the world. And as we think about the second coming of Christ, there are some key prophetic terms I want you to understand. And I'm going to give them to you. They're in your notes as well. There will be an Antichrist that will come. The Antichrist will be a person that will be a powerful world leader that will promote Satan's agenda, which includes persecuting Jews and Christians. He'll come across as a person of peace, but actually be a person of war and persecution and destruction. There is a time coming of a great tribulation, a period of 7 years, prophesied by Daniel and Jesus, in which the Antichrist makes a 7-year covenant of peace with Israel. Halfway through, that covenant is broken, and a period of massive persecution and destruction begins. There's a time coming, a 7-year period, in which a covenant will be made with Israel to supposedly bring about peace, but it will end up bringing war and destruction because the Antichrist, who will be the promoter of this covenant, will break that covenant, and massive destruction and persecution will begin. There's also an event called the Abomination of Desolation. You might hear that term as well. That's an act committed by the Antichrist at the midpoint of the tribulation in which he proclaims himself as God in the temple in Jerusalem. We're going to get back to the reality of the temple in Jerusalem and how that is going to happen. Also, there are terms like these, the wrath of God. We know about the wrath of God against sin, but there's a special period of God pouring out his wrath on a rebellious world. It's a pouring out of God's judgment on a rebellious world, especially towards the end of the Great Tribulation, as a response to those who have aligned themselves with Satan and the Antichrist. It's coming. The Bible talks about it. And then following that is a period called the millennium, a period of 1,000 years following the Great Tribulation in which Jesus Christ will physically reign on the earth, establishing his kingdom in power and glory. Now, that's some terminology that you should probably be aware of as you study prophecy. The passage, by the way, we're looking at, Matthew 24, is really the foundation of all prophetic studies. Most scholars who study prophecy will say that I'm starting at Matthew 24 and everything else has to fit the chronology and the facts that we find in Matthew 24 because Jesus lays out clearly what will happen. Let's continue reading. After he says the gospel will be proclaimed throughout the entire world as a testimony to all nations and then the end will come. Then he says this, so when you see the abomination of desolation, we know what that is now, right? That's when Antichrist sets himself up as God in the temple. Spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. He's assuming you've read the prophecy of Daniel. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is in the house stop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And also for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be, and here it is, a great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, these days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, right? And here's again the security of true believers. It's not possible to lead the elect astray and lose their salvation, because once you are truly saved, God will complete his work in you. Says this, so if possible, lead astray even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Powerful, powerful passage. Here's the second important thing we need to understand. There will be a time of great tribulation coming to the world. It's coming. A time of great tribulation. This passage refers to the passage in Daniel. Let me read just a section of that. From Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, and he, the Antichrist, shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. In prophetic terms, that's 7 years. And we talked about that a couple years ago, I think, when I was doing a study on that and the timing of the prophecy. But that'll be 7 years. And for half of the week, for 3.5 years, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, until the decree end is poured out on the desolator. So that period of 7 years is coming. It's talked about in the New Testament as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, let no one deceive you in any way. For that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So here's the biblical timeline overview that we see that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 24. That comes to play on his second coming. The reality is this, we know that there are many prophecies about the first coming of Christ. There are also many prophecies in the Old Testament about the second coming of Christ. And then when Jesus was born, he was crucified 30 AD. But here are prophecies in Matthew 24 about his second coming. We then enter into the church age, which we are still in today. We are part of that church, the ongoing story of the growing church of God around the world. Then the Bible talks about this 7-year tribulation that is coming, a great tribulation in which the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. And halfway through, he breaks that covenant. He sets himself up as God in the temple, the abomination of desolation, exalting himself as God. And many things will happen, but after that, there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we know that there are various views during the 7-year tribulation of Jesus returning in the clouds, right? That there will be a meeting of the church in the clouds called the rapture. We talked about that a couple weeks ago as we were talking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ after this life. That Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds and the church will meet him in the clouds. He won't touch the earth. That's why it says here, if they say he's in the inner room, don't go, don't believe it. If you say he's in the market, don't go down there. He's not there. Jesus said, when I come back, I'm not going to be on the earth. I will meet the church in the air. And then following that 7-year time of tribulation, Jesus coming physically then to the earth, setting up a kingdom, a 1,000-year reign. The Bible calls it a millennium on this earth. Now you might say, well, Mel, there's a problem with that prophecy. The Jews don't have a temple in Jerusalem. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? Any of you been to Jerusalem? Okay, a number of you, right? I've been there as well, walked on the mount. The Dome of the Rock, by the way, many people ask me about this. It's not a Jewish temple, right? It's a Muslim place of worship. It's not a Jewish temple. But there is a large movement, a strong movement in Israel to rebuild the temple. If you just go online, I did this week, and just Google the rebuilding of the temple, you'll see articles like this. Messianic preparations. This is about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, this article. Underway as third temple is being planned. The third temple, meaning that there was the first temple, Solomon's temple. The second temple was Herod's temple. That was destroyed in 70 AD. And now there will be a third temple that will be rebuilt. If you look up articles about the third temple, you will see articles about how they've already begun to register Levitical priests for service in the temple. There are already farms for red heifers and raising of animals that can be sacrificed in the temple. This is, it's public knowledge. It's out there. They've already cut the stones for the temple. Because the plan is, if permission is given to build the temple, they want to build it quickly. It's not going to be a 5-year project. They want it to happen quickly. Here's another article. It says this. Messianic preparations underway for the third temple. Then it says, rabbis urge Trump and Putin to help rebuild temple in Jerusalem. This is just a few months ago. That there is a growing movement to rebuild the temple. The Jews want it built. Now, if you know the Temple Mount at all, you know that the Dome of the Rock is in the Temple Mount. Now, the Muslims built that as a sign of victory over the Jews. They thought they were building it over the place where the former temple stood. But many scholars today believe that they actually built it in the court of the Gentiles. See that red arrow there? That's where they built the Dome of the Rock, that golden domed structure in the court of the Gentiles. In fact, when we were there, our tour guide, who was a Jewish archaeologist that had converted to Christ, he walked us where that arrow is up the side, right past the Dome of the Rock. And he was very instructive to us. Please don't sing any songs. Don't pray any loud prayers because there are Muslims all around. If they hear you doing that, they will be offended. There will be police that will come. So we quietly walked past the Dome of the Rock, past that to the north, to the other side of the Dome of the Rock. And he stood there and he said, they actually built the Dome of the Rock on the wrong spot. This is where the temple stood. So it's possible to rebuild the temple and not destroy the Dome of the Rock. And so many believe that's what will happen, that there will be a rebuilding of the temple, that there will be two temples side by side. Others believe that can never happen. But there is a strong movement for that to happen. The Jews are waiting for permission for that to happen. It's a current event. If that happens, because people say now, how can the Antichrist set himself up as God in the temple when there is no temple? Well, there will be a temple one day. It will be built. And the Antichrist will come, make a 7-year covenant, as Jesus indicates here with the Jews, and then a time of great tribulation. Let's keep reading. Matthew 24, it says this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Here's the next point that we need to be aware of. There will be an awesome coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. It will happen. You might say, well, Mel, this rapture thing, it just sounds too fanciful. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's not for God. This is no problem for God. For the God of the universe who created 100 billion galaxies, he will gather his elect in the clouds. It will happen. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Lightning happens quickly, amen? Also, lightning, everyone sees it. It will be a powerful event. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. And he will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This matches perfectly what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's the passage about the rapture. For you are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, security, Destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So for many people, this is going to be like a thief in the night. We didn't expect it. The world is having this amazing time of peace for 3.5 years. But then it adds this, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you like a thief. You're going to see the signs of Christ's coming come to pass. It's not going to overtake you like a thief. You will know, okay, the temple is being rebuilt. There's a 7-year covenant made with Israel. You might say, well, Mel, why would the Antichrist do this exactly like the Bible prophesies? Why doesn't he make a 9-year covenant? Because the Antichrist is working according to what he believes is best. He's trying to get his agenda done. And obviously, God has placed restraints on the Antichrist. But he will be making moves that he will think are best. And the world will think, oh, what a wonderful move. What a wonderful idea. Let's follow this guy. Have you ever done that? You thought you were helping out, but then things went terribly wrong. That happened to me. I was at that pastor's conference a couple weeks ago, and I think I've told you that my daughter, my 7-year daughter and I often go out and feed the fish in the morning. We'll go out and feed our goldfish. We have about 30 of them. We have them well trained. We would go out and we feed them these tetra flakes, and they float on the water and they come up like little piranha to eat the goldfish flakes. There's like 30 of them. And my daughter and I, we stand there and watch them. And I went off to a pastor's conference. My father-in-law was still at my house. And my father-in-law decided he would do me a favor without asking me, that he would make my fish pond cleaner. So what he did is he decided to put a hose in the fish pond and fill it with tap water. And all the old water would run out and all the fresh tap water would come in. So when I was at the pastor's conference, I received a text from my wife. This is what it said. Let me share with you this amazing text that came from my father-in-law, who thought he was doing the right thing, but it ended up being the wrong thing. My wife texts me, says, well, I hate to break it to you, but Opa killed all your fish. I think he added too much fresh water. We already replaced them, got two koi, pretty big koi. I texted back. I didn't really, you know, the 30 fish that were dead, it didn't really bother me. But to make them feel a little guilty, I run with this. I love those fish. They are irreplaceable. I had names for each one. My wife texted, I know, it's been a pretty sad day. I said, just kidding, it happens. But my father-in-law thought he was doing a great thing. But it turned out to be a time of destruction. 30 fish dead. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be doing. And people who follow him, they think they're doing a good thing. They think they're doing the right thing. Oh, this sounds really good. But it will become a time of destruction. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. So what happens during that 7-year tribulation, great tribulation, when the Antichrist makes a peace covenant with the nation of Israel? Let me put a chart on the screen. I want you to know that in this church are people who believe differently about the rapture. And that's okay. This isn't a major doctrine of the church, not like salvation by faith alone or the deity of Christ. Some people believe that the rapture will occur before the 7-year tribulation. That's a very common view. There was a series of books, very popular, written by Tim LaHaye, called what? The Left Behind series, right? That was written from a pre-trib perspective, that the rapture will occur right before that 7-year tribulation begins. I went to a seminary in Chicago, 4,000 students, many professors. There were professors, and it's an evangelical free church school. It's part of our association of churches. There were profs at that school who held each of these positions. The mid-trib position says the rapture will occur at the very middle, right before the tribulation that begins with the persecuting of Jews and Christians, which the Antichrist will do. There's also a pre-wrath position, that the rapture will occur towards the end of the tribulation, not exactly at the end, but before God pours out what the book of Revelation describes as the bowls of wrath on the earth, that the rapture will occur right before that. So the church will be removed from the wrath of God, the pre-wrath position. And the fourth position would be this, the post-tribulational position. It happens right at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Now, there are different views about that, and I would encourage you to study God's word and find out which view best fits what you believe Scripture is saying. But the rapture is coming, and even though there are different views, it will happen, and it will happen according to God's plan. The church will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. One of these days, I'll do a much more extensive study about the rapture of the church and the verses that talk about that. Here's the last thing I want to challenge you with. There is a calling for believers to be prepared and expecting the coming of Christ. Look what it says here in the text. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know the summer is near. Verse 33. So also, when you see all these things, you know that the end is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away. The generation that sees all these signs will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is saying, bank on this. Don't doubt this. This is exactly what will happen. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, So will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What does that mean? They were living life normally. Hey, life is great. The end of the world, forget about it. We're getting married. We have plans. There's no end of the world coming. That's exactly the time that it comes. And they were unaware, like Noah's day, when Noah entered the ark. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of men, the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, stay awake, for you not know on the day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect. You know, the challenge for us, church, is to look for the signs of the times and to realize that we need to be alert and doing the work of the Lord until he comes. That we are called to be prepared and expecting the coming of Christ. And we see the signs all around us. It is happening. And the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead will ultimately bring Jesus back into this world scene. So to be ready, I want to challenge you in this way. Make sure that you've received salvation by faith. Have you done that? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That we are evangelizing the people around us. That we are sharing with people what we need to do. That we are actively serving Christ. There are people in history that have gone to some mountaintop thinking the coming of Christ is coming this weekend. We're going to go up to this mountaintop and just hang out there until he comes. No, we're to be actively serving Christ until he comes. And then deepening your walk with Christ. That you are in the word and studying the word and deepening your walk with him. And that you are yielding to the Lord daily. So that when he returns, he finds a church that loves him and has been living for him. Amen, church? Amen. Let's bow our hearts in prayer today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to lift up your name, to be followers of yours. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the signs of the times, that we would be prepared and alert and ready for your coming. That as we see the circumstances of this world unfold according to your scripture, God, that we will know that you are in power and that you are the God of this universe. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We love you today, Lord. And we pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus.